brought to you by Penguin.
Somebody to Love, a Family Story. Written and read by Alexandra Hemmingsley. For Damien and Mike, I am as blessed with my logical family as with my biological one. Love does not begin and end the way we seem to think it does. Love is a battle. Love is a war. Love is a growing up. James Baldwin. Author's note. This is my story, but of course it overlaps with that of my immediate family. I have tried to find the right balance between living an open and honest life and affording them their privacy. As such, I have not used full names but initials for those closest to me. In the first half of the book, I have avoided using male pronouns when referring to Dee. They are now entirely inappropriate and would have been hurtful to use. I have, however, after a lot of consideration and discussion with Dee, kept the term husband in places. I would love for there to be a less gendered term for what I understood my relationship to be at points where I use it, and I sincerely hope that this decision does not cause any hurt to any other members of the trans community. All views and experiences in this book are my own, and I am in no way attempting to represent the views or experiences of others. I also hope that as our understanding of trans and non-binary lives and the issues that surround them evolve, so will our language. For now, I've done my best to honour both my story and my family in terms that get as close as possible to the experiences that I am sharing with you. Prologue. Today I sat on a bench facing the sea, the one where I waited for Elle to be born, and I sobbed my heart out. I don't know if I will ever recover. This is a note on my phone written on the 9th of November, 2017. I forgot about it for a couple of years, but when I look at it now, I can remember typing it as if it were yesterday. The seagulls squawked overhead and the sun dipped into the sea, melting slowly as it met the horizon. I'd been sitting there so long my hands were too cold to type. I put my phone back into the pocket of my winter coat, checked the baby's hat and blanket were secure, and turned the buggy to face home. The conversation seemed unhavable, but we had to have it. The vacuum in which my husband had been living since we returned home with our newborn was now unbearable. The silences, the sadness, the sense that while there was boundless love between us, something had come loose and was now unspooling irrevocably, was intolerable. The baby was 6 months old. He was so small he couldn't yet sit up without my hand in the small of his back to support him. His head had just about stopped bobbing around uncontrollably if left to its own devices. Only a week or two before, he had outgrown his newborn rocking crib, the little wooden cradle which had sat first next to me and then at the end of our bed. The new, larger cot had just arrived. We decorated his bedroom next door, me constructing the cot while Dee hung the mobile of floating paper clouds. I felt an ache like scar tissue on a cold day when I realised the three of us would no longer sleep together. My eyes were wet with tears as I placed him gently on his pristine new bedding a few hours later, our beloved angel on a puff of cloud. As Dee and I walked back to our own bedroom, there was nowhere left to hide. A few days later, after my return from that sunset walk, I took a deep breath and pressed my fingernails into the palms of my hands. "I think you need to have some therapy," I heard my voice say. "You keep changing things about your appearance instead of accepting who you are," I continued. "It's what's inside that matters. You must know that. You're wonderful. We both love you so much. I wish you could relax and enjoy that." My husband replied, slowly and reluctantly, knowing in advance just how the axis of our family was about to tilt. "Yes. I do need to see someone. But it's not because I can't, but because I have finally accepted who I am." "What do you mean?" I asked, unsure if the news was good or bad.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?